And welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of Adventures in Reality with your host, Andrew Bartzis, the Galactic Historian. We are on the megastation BBSRadio.com, simulcast into Google Hangouts. I am joined by my intrepid co-host, Danielle Lynn. Welcome to the show, Danielle.
Thank you, Andrew. It's wonderful to be here, as always. Really excited for the reading stuff that we have lined up today.
Oh, yeah.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling really good. We've been talking about in the background that we're going to be doing more and more reading shows, and this is one of those gear-ups. We had a reading show earlier in this week as we told people that they had just been demanding more and more. You know, we put out a survey at what times people were wanted to hear. So what's going to be going on is you guys are going to be getting 10 reading shows per month. So it's looking like we're going to go Tuesdays, Thursdays, and then every other Saturdays. So what people have been asking for is what we're going to be giving them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, the key here is especially the outpouring we've got from the reading shows. So many people have been saying that when they listen to a certain person getting read, they often feel like the reading was meant for them.
Yep.
And many times it is. How have you've explained that a little bit before, Andrew, like that people often feel that connection when you're doing the readings.
Oh, people oftentimes feel connections. And one of the reasons I started doing reading shows years and years ago is I knew people were getting healings from them. There's examples that Danielle has read where I do readings in a written format where I don't actually ever meet or speak to the person. They just send me a picture and their name on it. And I'll go to a ceremonial fire and then I'll commune about that person and I'll write 3,000 or 4,000 words, quite a significant amount. And that's a synopsis of that life's person from that expression of ever-present fire understanding where you're in a ceremonial neutral space. It's a unique experience to read someone at that level, to not have verbal communication, but the verbal communication readings, I'm in the zone, I'm in the Akashic frequency, and there are people that just hearing that frequency in that continued presentation with that other person going through the different stages and processes of their healing, understanding, or a non-understanding connects them. You know, people that have listened to me for a while, they know when I can get really turn it up. They've seen shows or they've seen things where everyone's bursting out into tears or everyone's going through joyous rounds of expression because not only is a new frequency, but a new understanding has been reached.
Beautiful. I wanted to also just take this moment to say hello to everyone who is listening and joining in with us right now. That's part of what makes these shows so special, having that interaction, and we really encourage you all to show up. So hello to everyone there on the chats, and so much love from the both of us. We see you here with us today. So before we started, did you have anything you wanted to share on the day or the energies of the day, Andrew?
The energies of the day, the propaganda news media is spitting out fear, fear, and more fear. Turn it off. Turn off the bloggers. Turn off all of that stuff. Go out and do something this weekend. It's a fabulous new moon coming up. A fabulous chance for people to catch up on lost sleep. An incredible opportunity to spend time with your children or time by yourself. Think differently. Don't be predictable. The system knows when you're predictable, and then they can do things around you. Be unpredictable.
Beautiful. So are we ready for our first reading?
Yep, we're ready for our first reading, and we're going to bring on Heidi.
Hi there.
Heidi.
Thanks
are you
for
there,
having
Heidi?
Me. I am.
Thank
can you hear me?
You. Can you speak up just a little bit?
Can you hear me now?
Yep, you're much
Hello?
Better. Yep.
You can hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you good. So how did you find
okay,
out about
great.
Me?
I found out about you about 6 or 8 months ago. I was watching a YouTube video where you were talking to Laura Eisenhower, and you guys were talking about different things that had happened to the Earth, and you just totally resonated with me. So I immediately started watching YouTube videos all about you, and then got on your website, and there you have it.
Well, thank you. So you've heard me do bunches of material before. What questions do you have to start the reading, or did you just want me to jump in?
Just jump in.
Well, you have the Akashic record of this world and 20,000 other worlds open to you. So what I need you to do is tell me about the first 10 minutes of your day. When you first woke up, what did you first thing you do? Did you roll over? Did you pet your cat? Did you look at your watch? What was going on in that first 10 minutes of the day? Give me a synopsis about 30 or 40 seconds out loud, and what I'm going to do is tune into your infinite dream world and how you adjust to being in the regular world.
Okay. Well, basically, let's see, I remember I rolled over, I woke up, I had the thought, I can't believe I forgot to set my alarm clock when I just woke up, and it was like 6:50, and I laid there in bed, and then I realized I really need to pee, and I really don't want to get up, so I'll lay here a little longer, and then I tried to remember some of my dreams, which I wasn't remembering too much, and then I sat there and did kind of my little exercise of just kind of grounding myself and setting my intention for the day and
all right,
protecting
I've tuned into your dream world, and the very first thing that I'm getting is a significant part of your dream world is being blocked out right now, a really significant part, a part that's connected to some kind of farming ritual. Do you have Native American in your mother's lineage?
Not that I know of.
What do you know about your mother's mother?
Not a ton. She was, farmers. I know that farmer lineage. I know there was Irish. I'm not sure if it was German. You know what? And I think there actually might be a little bit of Native American now that I think I remember my mom talking about
that. Very beneficial for you to go and go to something like Ancestry.com. Or some other hereditary or search format or family members and begin to find out. There's a tremendous amount of unhealed karma on your mother's lineage side, and you've inherited that this lifetime. And until you come into semblance and balance with the part of your spirit that left the agricultural world for the industrial world, the selling out to the slave society, 400-hour work week industrial society, it was from one slave society to another, and your soul is having an extremely difficult time going through this group of awakenings without being connected to doing things like seed songs. Like each year there's a crop that's planted, and the people that plant the crops know how to magically plant the crops, but months before, or sometimes even years before, the ancient grandmothers come out and would create seed songs, and they'd do these songs over tens of thousands of seeds, and these would be the seeds of future generations in case there was ever a famine or starvation or something was going on. They could put these magical seeds into the ground that had the powers of the grandmothers over them. And this is what you were meant to be doing this lifetime, is to be singing over seeds, to be singing over the seven future generations that are going to have an abundance in them, whether it's a hunter making a bow and arrow that's passed on to a father, a daughter, or a set of moccasins. It was about the legacy of what we could create.
Wow, that kind of blows me away, actually.
Well, do you like doing things with your hands?
Oh, I love to.
What, do you do crafts or anything like that?
Oh, actually, I work as a firefighter, so I work with my hands that way.
Oh, I knew that. So work as a firefighter.
Yes,
so
yes I do.
You're choosing firefighter. Could you ever see yourself as a farmer?
A little bit. I mean, my thought was is once I finish my firefighting work was to get more into gardening. I garden, so that's I toil that way.
No, I was referring to actually being a farmer, like up at sunlight, done at sunset. And there's a reason I asked that to you, because this goes deep, deep, deep into your soul history. One of the important lifetimes that comes up through the Akashic frequency here is a lifetime that you led in the Brazilian Amazon rainforest. And this would be probably right dead smack in the center of Brazil where the Amazon is. And there's these large areas that actually were crafted by hand. So whenever the Amazon would flood, these other areas would take the overflow and make a land of 10,000 lakes. And then these lakes had artificial islands on them, and they would create these islands that would grow tubers or something that looks like a potato, but it's a water version of it. And it's extremely beneficial in nutrients, and they could actually make canals where they could move these mobile islands and put them into other rivers and move them downstream. And your soul was an integral part at creating this, not just at the beginning, but occupying lifetimes where you were trees, you were plants, you were the people on those different farms. And they are all specific soul families from Orion who are coming here and trying to resolve war karma by coming here and taking up the agricultural respect of Earth for the wars that they had caused here. It's called swords to plowshares. You ever heard that terminology?
I've never heard that terminology. Swords to plowshares?
Swords to plowshares. It's an ancient saying when the warriors put down their swords and become farmers, where they craft,
oh, wow.
They take their metal sword and it recrafted into a plow or into a hammer that's used for making homes or an axe. They literally convert what their old tools were, and they take the energy of the warrior and then reinvest it into the land until it takes them one or two decades or generations sometimes of soul investment so that they permanently let go of war as a vital concept for soul orientation. It was a way that your soul family was able to recalibrate out of a war frequency and do great amount of healing at the Orion and Sirian side. You also have a tremendous, tremendous connection to, it's called Isitoran. They're a cross between a reptile and a bird. Now, most people are instantly fear whenever we say reptiles. Not all reptiles are bad. Many of them have gotten a bad rap from the idiots that have been doing their shit over here. So it's essentially a reptilian bird, and they're about 8 feet tall. They have wings as well as opposable arms and legs. So you could almost look at it as angelic, but it's a reptilian that has feathers. It has two brains, one in its head and one in its tailbone, and the brain in its tailbone has four hearts around it. It doesn't have a heart in the center of its chest. It has it all around its brain. It's a primordial thinker, and it's an advanced strategist. It grew up in a predator-prey species, but it was a species that found enlightenment in predator-prey, because even the prey was being enlightened by every kill that they received. It was a perfect balanced predator-prey society. But when false light beings came there and introduced a different type of war concept, these predators became predators of the galaxies at times. They were quite fearsome in what they were capable of doing. And they led these bloodhound gangs. And these bloodhound gangs were literally be able to search down a soul in any dimension or time stream. That's how powerful they were. And these bloodhounds began being incorporated into the Sirian and the Orion systems until finally the Sirians and the Orions were doing war with each other and their own societies were splitting up. And still the Avarans were bringing in more blood hunters or scent hunters, or what I call the psychic pheromone wars, where they were hunting soul families based off of the psychic pheromone that they could leave in an area.
So what you're saying then is this reptile bird is called an Isitorian?
Yeah, in that's the karma that you're resolving right now, this lifetime. Okay?
Gotcha.
So you've done the war karma, and you're now a firefighter, which is still another service to country, which is nothing bad with it. It means you're still coming to the final terms with why the wisdom of your Isitoran homeworld and Navarran homeworld, which are one is the predator, one is the prey, and they're always chasing each other etherically around the galaxy as soul families who have gotten into a permanent predator-prey soul family incarnation cycle. So many of the people that in firefighting expression are other Isotorans who have needed specific rescue from this system, or some of the Syrians and Greys that you've done, and the Orions that you've done battle with, vice versa. It's a vicious game of resolution of karma. And for you to exit that game would to be going back into farming, and like a ceremonial expression of farming, where you can plant spiritual crops as well as physical crops.
Gotcha.
Like, you have so many watchers around you right now. Usually when I see this amount of watchers, they're first responders, they're people that have been in the ambulance industry for a long period of time, people that are in war. I've read many, many people that are in Afghanistan. And when I see watchers like this, it means that you are doing spiritual combat in the dream world. And this is why you're really not connected to the fullness of your dream world, like I was saying in the beginning, because you shut it off at about age 7, maybe age 8, and you turned it back on for a little bit.
So how do I get it back on? Is by doing those ceremonies you were talking about in the beginning?
Let's look at age 7 and 8. What was going on with you? Where were you living?
Oh, it's perfect. I know exactly why I shut it off. But my parents got divorced. My mom moved us out of state, and all kinds of crazy stuff with my family and parents, and didn't trust my mom.
And was right at that time.
Oh yeah, I know exactly when I shut it off.
Okay, so let's talk about why you shut it off.
Well, my gut feeling as I shut it off is because my mom was very adamant about that things aren't real, that only what you see is real. She's very evangelical, Christian kind of. This is, you know,
karma.
If you don't do this, you're going to hell, that kind of stuff. Right. So I
ancestral
bought
debt
into that for a while.
Right. I call that ancestral debt karma. Your mom had no choice but to enforce the reality rules on you. Here's the debt. Here is a belief system that is not going to help you. Here you go. And since that time, you've been carrying that debt.
Right.
You don't need to carry that debt anymore, and it doesn't need to be returned to your mother. It needs to be returned to the ancestors that created it. And this is the key for you to coming into balance with all the things that are going on with this predator-prey thing that's around you, and why all these different sentinels are up. You essentially need, at a spiritual level, need to go through the swords to plowshares, where you're going to put down the weapons of dream warfare and the weapons of spiritual warfare, and pick up planting spiritual crops, creating spiritual gardens in the physical world, in the real world, creating worlds in your dream worlds instead of war worlds, to not longer create agendas and strategies that can put karma into resolution, but can put creation and expansion instead of karmic resolution as the first choice.
So do I do that through intention when I go into my dream world?
Intention is one thing. Have you heard me talk about telling your story to the fire?
Yes, I have.
Have you ever thought about doing that?
I have. It actually really resonated with me a couple weeks ago when I heard you say that.
Well, this is one of those self-challenge moments. What does it take for you to challenge yourself and all your other selves that may be in resistance of you telling your whole story to no one else but yourself and the element of fire? And from there, you'll be able to guide and chart what it is that you have to do so that you can create a dream world that isn't war, that your mind can connect to and see the peace, beauty, and unity of the world, that can look at the different stargates and the energy facilities of Earth and understand that, yes, there's this surface aggression, but you don't need to tune into it. You have 100% free will when your spirit is attached to you and in that co-creative moment. And it is not just intention that sets the space. It's the power of the mind to stay disciplined, to keep it in that powerful space. And we do that by creating ceremonies that brings our heart levels up so that we are in trust of the space. We often bring elements to those space like fire, wind, water. Sometimes we bring drums so they help us go deeper and deeper. For you, this is about identifying when and where you can disconnect from work, from family, from life, and simply be in the frequency of yourself and begin to notice how other people's frequencies jump into you and then how much your mind is distracted every time you try to stay focused because you have all of these sentinels that are all over your frequency, constantly looking for the next emergency or the next warning or the next omen.
Got it. That makes a lot of sense.
Okay. So do you have any questions for me?
You know, one question I have is you had mentioned something about Orion and Sirius. Are you saying that I had a lot of lives as an Orion?
Hundreds. And that came in from those bloodhound units where you basically were a psychic hunter and you liked work with the Orions and the Syrians so much and you made a tremendous amount of equivalent of money working for them as mercenaries. When you got high enough frequency, you incarnated into their soul families and brought your light body skills as a hunter with you.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So you were upgrading your own light body DNA by doing that. And that was at a time where the Syrians and the Orions were creating the first models of Greys. Greys don't actually have souls inside them. They're biomechanical machines that other living spark frequencies can enter, not one at a time, but dozens, and control them like autonomous hive soldiers or automatons. Though they can still function and run on their own and their hearts work and all that other stuff, but if there's not a seed spark soul inside them, they're just running a program, which could be basic maintenance, which could be collecting product, whatever, but they don't actually make soul-based thought patterns or structures.
Gotcha.
And you were a part of that Gray production organization. There's quite a few people on Earth that were about making these biomechanical suits, and it mainly was because we as souls wanted to cheat. We wanted to be in Earth going through the experience in unawareness, but still wanted to have the power to enter other gray biomechanical bodies and somehow make their way here to Earth so we could influence ourselves to make different choices.
So
a lot of people got caught with their hand in the cookie jar that way, me included. So you do have some of that this lifetime. You were abducted when you were 22. It looks like you were abducted by the 315 7x3. Let me look at this. Hold on. The abduction was loss of time, reintegration of a soul shard, exchange of DNA. They did harvest your DNA. They did harvest your Kundalini. And that harvested DNA and Kundalini went into some kind of like transfusion to save another person. And your soul had actually agreed to the loss of time to your I Am Presence. So this was like your oversoul coming in and calling a timeout during your I Am Presence and saying, solving this karma at the higher soul level far exceeds the amount of healing that you're going to get by just allowing that to happen. At that time, you were not ready to understand what was going on. So what the Akashic record shows here is clearly you liver matter, heart matter, DNA matter. It kind of looks like something had, it was a very powerful connection to your soul family that was here living on Earth. It was a very old being. Wow. Old being. In Madagascar? So Madagascar has been coming up a lot with some other people here. Where were you when you were 21? Where were you living?
I was in Los Angeles.
Lived in Los Angeles. What part of the valley?
I was actually over by LAX, over off the 405 over that area. La Tijera.
Yep. I know.
Over in that general area.
And the reason I know what sacred geometry system was the big crossover there for you. When I'm looking at this, they essentially harvested you for 2 weeks, and there was a tremendous removal from you, but you got tremendous amount back. And I'm looking at the actual soul contracts that are stated here from your higher self and the higher self of the being that you healed in unawareness. The donation of what you gave. Give this being 13 extra months of life in which he was able to pass on a knowledge and wisdom of some type of alchemy. It looks like a mixing of plant and animal medicines that made some kind of, I want to say, gelatin. You know, like when you make head cheese or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Suspending things in fat and flesh and vegetables. It's if you've ever seen head cheese, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Gotcha.
And it was an intense alchemy. It would be laid over the body, and it allowed regeneration. So those that sacrifice their flesh to make that type of energy, you could rebound the flesh of those that were burnt, and it was a way of karmically balancing the being also. So it's some kind of like skin grafting alchemy. It was really, really important to your soul. I mean, so important that it brought in angelic beings from other planets to make sure that it would happen. It was a gigantic deal.
Awesome.
And this is where you got all your watchers from. This was your demanding. So from that point forth, those moments of harvesting, you've had an unlimited amount of watchers and protectors every time you're out in the field because of what you went through in unawareness. And now you begin to redirect them because they're still your gift. So instead of them constantly warning you of what's out there, they can become protectors of your sacred space. They can walk around the edges and keep beings out from prying in on you. They can begin to create special pathways so that watching beings get lost on the pathways and can never get actually to you. You can give them commandments to kick out beings of negativity. You can give them special rules and orders during your ceremonial time to make sure you feel safe in your sacred space, to make sure you're not distracted by the continuous warnings and omens that are coming from these sentinels you've created.
Got it. That's great. Perfect. I would totally use them that way.
Okay. Do you have any more questions?
Can you talk to me just... You know, the only other question I have, I got a connection with dolphins and whales. What's my connection, especially like the humpbacks keep talking to me?
Hold on, I'm scanning. Hold on, I gotta separate. There's a whole bunch of lifetimes here where you were a whaler.
Oh.
Now it's balancing of karma. I've just got to get to the root of why whales and dolphins. Take that Japanese life out. Take that Norwegian lifetime out. Shark hunting. All right, so in timeline genocide number one, timeline two, at 11 million years BC, you gave up living two-legged life and switched to finned life. Whale, dolphin, fish, tuna, all that other stuff. But you stayed here on Earth, and then you graduated into the merfolk concept, but you still did not have two legs. You were adamantly, I am not taking two legs anymore, until there was a mass die-off in the ocean, and you were forced to take back again two legs as a Neanderthal, and it would have been in, I'm going to call this, southern Spain, Atlantic Ocean, not Gibraltar, mm-hmm. but a little bit more north than Gibraltar. And there you would have had an intense lifetime going from soul families living in the ocean and you being forced to living in soul families that have two legs. You had to live, you were soul sharded out. You had to live two lives at once. And too many times did you have the heartbreak where a dolphin was killed to be eaten or a whale was killed to be turned into blubber and there was just a soul connection to it and you would never know why you were so sad even though you were eating the flesh of one of your soul families. Mm. And so your connection to them right there is you lived millions of lives in them. I think it's time that you really look at your concept of a soul family reunion for yourself, that you begin to mm-hmm. create ceremonies, tell your story to the fire, and when you get good at creating sacred space, invite your soul family from the ocean to come share dream space with you.
Okay.
Okay. Any more questions?
I got probably 1,000 questions, but I'm sure you have other callers that want to move on. So,
no, go ahead with your question.
All right. The last I'll take this last part was what's my connection with like Atlantis and the Egyptians? There's like Egypt with the pyramids are just coming to me these last couple weeks, big time.
That's soul programming. Why that's coming with you now? Because the Middle East sacred geometry systems have been highly lightened up with the energy of war. Sacred geometry energies are being reinvested into those buildings and systems. So people's DNA memories of Egypt or Atlantis that have been manipulated begin to surface in the very edges of your dream world so that you become aware of what they want you to believe in. So you're really very literally connected to Egypt. You're far more connected to India or Sri Lanka than you would be the Atlantean Empire that later invested into Egypt. You do have lifetimes in Egypt, not as many as many others, maybe about 30 or 40, and those are a wide variety from head of a religious order to a slave. You did everything in between too, but you were not there for the majority of the Egyptian expressions all throughout the different timeline genocides. You had other plans. Your plan in India goes into Afghanistan and finding technology that had been left there by other species, involved in different mystery schools that were based all throughout the Indus Valley. You did battle against Alexander the Great. You were a general that didn't defeat him, but you were able to outsmart him because you had sacred geometry technology as well as Vimana technology to spy on his troops. And he also had this, and the both of you discovered this simultaneously. You were using the same technology, and you physically actually met Alexander the Great on a battlefield in neutrality where you talked about this two different technologies because you both realized at that time that there were beings who were manipulating everyone to do this. And they created this frequency where they could speak to each other and not be heard by anyone else. But it was recorded into the Akashic record. So that means it was an uninfluenced moment where two conquering beings met each other and said, hey, there's a bunch of other beings trying to manipulate us. Let's figure something out so we could both benefit from this.
Gotcha. So then is that why I'm being called back into the sacred geometry? Because I've been like devouring that stuff for like the last 2 months, just reading everything I can about it.
Well, I'm going to say it's chum in the water.
Mm, got it.
It's attracting you to something, but what is it really attracting you to? What is it doing to you? Is it making you do things? Are you reading more than you've done before? Have you gotten out and meditated because of it? Has it really sparked something in you, or is it just feeding it?
You know, I'm not really sure exactly what it's doing. I'm trying to sit with it because I don't really understand where it's coming from.
Well, I think when you go back and listen to the recording of this reading, I think it would be very, very beneficial for you to go out and buy a few hundred seeds. I mean, they're pretty cheap, and seeds that you can plant and eventually eat. And I want you to put them into a pouch, and I want you to dream with them.
Okay.
As long as you can, as many weeks or months as you can. Even put them in a pouch and wear them around your neck or keep them in your pocket. So when it comes time for you to plant these seeds, you're putting something into this earth that reaffirms your soul's mission of swords to plowshares.
Okay.
Stopping being in the war frequency in your dream so you can be in the now frequency of healing, so much more of what your DNA memories are trying to teach you, specifically about Atlantis, specifically about Egypt, that leads you into a whole other avenue of exploration. And some of that avenue of exploration, it isn't about the times of Atlantis. It's what they did during those times. You know, as I said before, you were a farmer, but you also were a technician, a warrior, a dancer. I can see dozens and dozens of lifetimes where you were happiest as a soul has ever been in India, in Madagascar, on the Chango Islands, all throughout there, as a very powerful entity, divinity dancing entity, where you could do dancing healing around people. You could do this. You'd literally dance like 2 days around a dying person, and the person would come back to life. See, those lifetimes, I see those in the Akashic record as far more important than what's going on with you in Egypt right now. I mean, you're dealing with some DNA activation, and you've gone through a series of awakenings. I mean, I kind of call this awakening syndrome, where you're awake, but you sometimes force yourself to stay awake even more, and you don't have to. Mm-hmm. This is the time of pause and contemplation, of not forced education. This is your time of ceremony, because on the 21st of December 2014 is another opportunity for you as a soul to experience global dream time as a unity species. For one brief second, our species will experience global dream time yet again on the 21st of December. But that brings us all 1 degree closer, where we're no longer a separated species but a unified species. And pretty soon it won't be 1 second or 1 microsecond. It might be 2 full seconds. And that 2 full seconds of unifying is going to awaken millions and millions of people to a whole new layer of reality.
I definitely look forward to that.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to move on to the next caller.
Awesome. I appreciate it. Thank you, Andrew.
You are good. Thank you very, very much. So, Doug, you want to bring on Tori?
Hi.
Hi.
Hello?
Tori. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you, Andrew?
I'm doing very, very good. So how did you find out about me?
Actually, it was my partner. He found you first, and he showed me some of your interview with when you were at Mount Shasta, I think, with
yep.
Was it Lance White? Is
yep.
that his name?
With Lance.
And then I was so taken with that. I think then I really first got really hooked when I heard an interview you had with Hope Girl, I think, and you talked about sovereignty. And it was such a wonderful speech. And then I've been watching all of your interviews with New Earth Nation and Veronica Keene, and I just love all the work all you guys are doing and want to support you all and all of that. So,
well, thank you very much. So, you've heard me do readings?
Just a little bit. I just really started listening to them recently. And
well, the way this works is I tune into your Akashic record. And did you have questions you'd like to ask me? Did you just want me to jump right in?
Well, I did have some questions, and I'd probably like you to jump in as well. do you want me to go with the questions first?
Sure, let's go ahead with the questions.
One of the things I'm curious about what how all of my past lives and everything I've been through kind of relates to my to what's happening to me now today in this world and on how that relates to my work. I'm a musician and I play music that's, you know, spiritual in nature, and I'm in this all women's band, and we call ourselves Inanna, Sisters in Rhythm, and I just want to know what her story is, and I think I know what her story is, as I've read things about her, but I just want to make sure I have the correct history, and I want to make sure I'm invoking something beautiful and not even just her story, but what our connection is to the goddess, and that I'm, you know, that I'm doing healing work through my music. I would like to think that's part of my purpose here, but I wanted to know what your take on all of that was.
All right. So what I'm doing as you're asking that question, I'm scanning through the different layers of the Akashic record. And what I can do is I can tune into 20,000 separate Akashic record worlds. That means there's 20,000 separate worlds that each have their own Akashic record. And what I'm doing is scanning each one to see how many you lived in up into this moment in time and why music has crossed over at this end time for you.
Okay.
And I am coming into the five, four, three, six, that's on the second timeline, genocide. So you came to this world with a remedy and resolve process. Hold on one second. This is covered up. Every now and then I run into an Akashic record that's got camouflage over it. That means the light body has altered the Akashic record copy that it has, and it's altered it in such a way that it would be very easy for an Akashic record that has an exact copy of it could mull over and not see that there is something that has been light body changed here. And what it is there was a heavy layer of aggression. All right, I see what it is. This is when the Pleiades, the Pleiadian expression of people, were attacked by a very hyper-aggressive sacred feminine world that had literally killed off all of its men. They were using a similar human DNA skin suit, except that their heart was actually where their stomach is. And so they were set up a little bit different. Their organs were more centrally located, and there was more, their upper body was more armored, is the best way I can say it. Heavier bones around them, protecting of the lungs and the things that kept the adrenal glands functioning. But that was because it was a heavier gravity world. In this sacred feminine species, they're called Yahwache. There's no English translation to it. It's just the angry women. Literally one day they killed off all the men in their world, just like there's a cabal species on our planet, something won there that said there shall no longer be a male species, and they began cloning to have offspring. and they would only clone women, they would clone no men, and these women became very aggressive of wanting to have mates. And this kind of represents to the story of the Amazons here on Earth, because the Ektakans, they came here, they were obviously DNA searching to have a complete set of soul codes so that a feminine-dominated society could be created separate of the male-dominated society that was going to be here on Earth, and something that would literally be able to overtake the sacred geometry system here on Earth. So when I see that, that means you're a rebellious soul who came into a rebellious world and said, I'm going to rebel against the people that are in charge, and we're going to put in the men that are in charge, and we're going to install a very powerful feminine, I'll make a racist feminine expression. Do you understand what I'm saying here?
Yeah, I think I do.
Did you experience a lot of sexism growing up?
Yeah, maybe. Well, maybe not. Yeah, maybe. I think my mother, my parents were very old fashioned, and men were, you know, the more special ones, or I suppose in that way. It wasn't like it was abusive or anything, but
well,
I did always feel a bit inferior because I was a woman.
Well, this is connecting into your music. This is really, this is all connecting. This whole little storyline here, this is all connecting into your music. So as I said, you were part of this aggressive species. They literally basically Pearl Harbored the Pleiadians on their homeworld and mass invaded their homeworld and began capturing male members of the Pleiadian societies and draining them of their semen right there and on the spot, and sometimes killing them off and sometimes not, and then returning to their homeworld and then breeding a whole new species of women who would go and do this again. And there were several examples where they were able to use the special dimensional gate technology and literally suddenly appear on the world and just kidnap a few thousand men at a time, and drain them of the whatever they needed to do, and then leave them or kill them. And you're dealing with that karma now. And one of the reasons you're expressing in music is that the earth sacred feminine is not perverted like the last sacred feminine planet that you lived on. It didn't survive the change of domination control. That sacred feminine planet gave into it, where earth has not given up. And you're here to reheal that sacred feminine bond, that there is a planet that will stay connected to that source of divine feminine.
So then what I'm doing here is trying to correct that.
Is trying to correct that for your soul. But it's the creativity and the chemistry of the music that's creating the resolution. Because the chemistry is you are connected as women in the band, you're connected as women in dream time, and you are connecting to the audience for that effect. So
right.
It's a trifecta. This trifecta also reveals that you as a soul has also tried to done healing with the Pleiadian peoples. So you came in and you were part of what's called the Pleiadian Seven Sisters. There are seven planets that represent a major part of the Pleiadian incarnation cycle. And you lived as a sacred feminine, all seven. And at the end of that, you mass incarnated seven separate souls simultaneously on the seven planets and made a group of seven soul shards that came together in unawareness to create perfect healing music for karmic resolution for all of those that were working with the Pleiadian species and were trying to find remedy and resolve. They didn't know how to do it, but they did know violence wasn't the way. And as long as they agreed that violence wasn't the way, the Pleiadian Seven Sisters would get in and sing an incredible healing song that would express to the different soul families that were resolving the male-dominated society or the female-dominated society, or trying to resolve that there is a non-hierarchical expression between male and female. And that's the main purpose of the Pleiadian Seven Sisters incarnation cycle, is to show people that there's no battle between the sexes. There never was.
Right. Oh, I love that. That sounds, you know, that makes a lot of sense. With me. And
all right. So do you have any questions?
Writing. Well, I guess, you know, I guess I'm on track. That's confirming that I should continue what I'm doing. I often wonder if I should be doing other things. Sometimes, you know, I wonder, you know, sometimes I feel like I'd maybe like to get away from, you know, writing music and being, you know, so, I mean, I love being very, very spiritual, and I love healing, and I love joining, you know, all these causes. Like, I want to go to Tara Hill now and help Veronica and you know, do all these things, and I want to bring music into that part of my life to help this planet. But it's sometimes I feel exhausted, and I don't really know if it's my true calling either, because I...
Well, you're feeling exhausted because you're not connected fully to your dream world. You're not fully connected to your soul family. You. There are projects of healing you start on yourself, but there are very few that you finish, simply because you're out of energy.
Right.
And we live in a toxic world. The first thing we do is we have to forgive ourselves for living in this toxic world. And one of the things that I commonly tell people is to maintain gut health. You know, have you adjusted your diet recently?
I have, yeah. I've got been to a nutritionist, and I've given up wheat and
good.
Well, except for today, I've given up sugar, and that's
going to give you about 20 or 30% more of your energy. The main majority of your energy is being blocked out because you're not having deeply connected dream time.
Right.
So, what's the last dream you actually remember?
Oh, I have a very difficult time remembering my dreams. I remember tiny bits of dreams. It seems like it's getting a little bit better. I actually had someone remove implants from me recently.
And
I was hoping that might actually, you know, help.
No, what's going on with you is, I'm just going to be blunt here, growing up as a woman, you have a tremendous amount of male masturbatory energy deeply affecting you, okay? And that's the first thing, is you got to say no. There was at some point, some young part of you in your teenage or tween years thought of it as something that was good. And you've kept this habit pattern around where there are certain types of innocent masturbatory frequencies that innately you're allowing in, but have been turning very toxic on you in the last 4 to 5 years. You have a tremendous amount of men from a whole lifetime that use you in their fantasies, their frequency that is you, and you've shared dream space with them because you live in a sacred geometry city, you live in a sacred geometry world, we're all sharing the dirty energy underwear, and it's time where you begin to say no to that energy frequency, because it's literally stealing probably 60% of your energy right now.
I
don't want to say what those fantasies are, but you can imagine many of them involve loving you in a domination and control way where you don't have any free will in that fantasy world of them, and they have a spark of your energy because somehow they got it, or somehow you just opened up and had a whole lot of unprotected astral sex when you were young. Whether it was dream harvesting entities or you exploring your own spirit, it doesn't matter. That frequency has to be changed.
I would like to change that frequency. So how do I start going about doing that?
Well, let's What was dating like for you? It was just a simple explanation. You don't have to tell any secrets or anything.
Well, I don't think it was so bad. I mean, I definitely had one marriage that was pretty dominating and pretty horrible, and I don't like. I feel like I'm probably still healing a bit from that.
And that husband is still projecting masturbatory frequencies on you.
Yeah, I had a feeling he might be, and I've been trying to work with cutting ties and changing that.
Well, he's madly in love with you. To the point he's mad, literally.
Right, I can feel that.
Yeah, and that's not good for you.
And I probably have had some other relationships like that. I've had ended most of relationships I've had because they've been toxic to me. But I do feel part of them still clinging.
Right,
to
because
me.
You healed a lot of them with your sensual and sexual touch.
Right.
You have an extremely alluring energy field that brings people into a healing frequency when they're close to you in a sensual expression that doesn't have to lead to sexual. There's just this extreme mother quality about you. And that sensual connection
right.
allows people to let down and heal. And that's what they went through when they had relationships with you. And I don't think you're really aware of how deeply that energy field of yours connected to them and healed them. And this is why so many people have these projections on you. It's not just men. There are a number of women that have the same need to want to love you into loving them so much that you would forget about your own free will and just be with them.
Okay. So what should I do, Andrew? Do I...
Well, you got to identify that you're a very bright light of a soul, and you don't need to be sorry about
okay.
it.
Okay.
These are other perverted beings.
Okay, that makes so much sense to me because I have kind of known that, but I also want to love people. I have a lot of love, but I want also to take care of myself, and I want to. I love the contracts you've written. I've read those, the soul contracts, I guess call them. And I've tried to kind of write some of my own kind of in that kind of framework to address some of these, to help me feel the power and the light that I have so that I can still shine it out there, but also not to be, taken, whatever
right.
it was
you want, you want to be recognized as the God-Goddess, but not be put onto a pedestal.
Right, exactly.
And that's the metaphorical reversal that you've been dealing with, is too many of them put you on the pedestal. So what it is you have to look at that frequency where you allowed yourself to be put on the pedestal in the first place. Women
okay.
throughout every generation since the beginning of time have been dealing with this. And this comes back to the fundamentals of why you incarnated this lifetime. It's to see if you could have a fresh way of doing something different in the feminine sensual expression, shining your light, being the musician, and yet still finding a way to be a rock-solid residual feminine image that can take the projections, redirect them back, but not take them internal. You just got overwhelmed. You took them internal. It became a habit pattern. That is ancestral karma. You got that from your mother and father. So you have to be willing, in contract revocation form, say to the frequency of your mother and father, I love you. But at the same time, the teaching which you have passed on to me as ancestral karmic debt of putting women on foundational pedestals for this particular purpose and this particular purpose no longer applies to this generation of the Great Dreamtime Awakening. I am creating something new, and I no longer need this teaching. I return it to the DNA lineage, to those that created it, for I no longer believe in that ancestral debt. And you need to incorporate that into a ceremonial expression over many, many series of weeks so that the fullness of your feminine expression returns. Like instead of a little river, there's a massive river network feeding you, bringing you back all of the energies that had been blocked from you because so much of your energy has been divested in all of these little men that your soul in perverted frequency is feeding these energy to because of their masturbatory frequency still touching you and you still being in the way of I must still protect them somehow. That is the divine feminine in me there. They could be suicidal, they could be this, they could be whatever it is in your mind, in your soul, you justified giving them that energy, even though you may be unaware of how invested you were in each of these people.
Okay. Wow. Okay, that makes sense to me. And wow.
And
I have some work to do.
Well, it's not a lot.
And there's
honestly
a new moon. Yeah.
It's not a
right.
lot.
There's
a new moon coming up. You got to look at this removing of the masturbatory frequency that's being projected on you as like there's a big net hanging over you. And the net weighs 60, 70 pounds. Imagine life without it.
Yeah. Okay, yes.
So the next thing is, have you ever done a colon cleanse, an actual full colon cleanse?
I have. It was probably 7 years ago, maybe 6 years ago.
Did you do it at home? Did you do a colonic?
No, I did. I did colonics with a woman who did it. I did a series of six, I think.
Yep. How did you feel afterwards?
It was like a machine. I felt great. Yeah. It was really great. Is it time to do it again? Or
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
And if you can do them back-to-back, where you do two and then wait a couple days and then do and then wait a couple days and then do two, or you can set it up where you start doing it every week, and in between there, you alter your diet for about just during the time you're going to be doing your series of six colonics. You drink a lot more juice and smoothies than solid food during that time that you're doing the colonics. You will increase your physical creative energy tenfold when you're done with this detox.
Okay.
If you can work on that masturbatory energy that's on you by creating a ceremony and doing contract revocations that say no, I don't need this anymore. This isn't my frequency. The frequency of love that I want is my music. The frequency of unperverted sacred feminine is what I am. And then you begin to define what a non-perverted sacred feminine is, a woman who can be sensual without this sexual expression always looming in the background as the immediate method of healing. Because too many times women and men think that the sexual healing is more important than the sensual healing. You're a sensual healer, and you do that through your music. You connect to the parasympathetic body with your sound and your soul, and you create healing through that. Conversely, when you are not on stage, you are still creating that same healing frequency intensely for the men that you are around. You need to learn to redirect that onto yourself. And that will be a discipline of going, when I uber focus on a man and I heal him and I change him around, I've done all that stuff, I need to do this on myself for this period of time that you're doing your train of six colonics.
Okay.
All you will right, have good. So much creative power That's behind fair. You, you're gonna be wow, off the hook.
I'm so inspired, you know, by what you've said, and it makes so much sense. And I actually feel a sense of freedom already, just in having this conversation
Wonderful.
With you.
All right. So, any more questions?
Yes. No, I think I'm good. I think I can't wait to go back and listen to this recording again.
Well, I got a question for you. What kind of instruments do you play?
I play drums. I'm a percussionist. I play a variety of different types of hand drums, yep. Djembes and Middle Eastern tars and tambourines. And and my music that I play with my band Inanna, the one that's probably the most working band, we're considered world music, I guess, African uh-huh. and Middle Eastern and sing. We sing. We have nice vocals, and so.
I think you need to bring your drum to a fire.
To where?
And I think I'm still here. I think it's time you brought your instruments to the fire and begin to reincorporate them as part of your spiritual path, separate of the music, separate of the band.
You're
gonna be willing to go out and have an outdoor fire. Huh?
Okay.
Fire is gonna be one of your champion elements. Okay. And the other one is moving water. When you get an opportunity, where you can get by a nice river that's well moving, and sit down there and drum with it, you will deeply, deeply, deeply connect to some healing energies.
Okay. I like to do that, actually. Play outside, and I take my drums outside and play a lot, but fire and water, okay.
Right. So I got another question. Were you in a car accident?
No, but I it's funny you mentioned that. My son was in a really horrible car accident, and I've been worried about him, and I was almost contemplating on maybe asking you about that.
Ask me about him because it's coming up.
What?
That's why the car accident. Yeah. It's playing over and over in your field, and I need to ask about it.
Yeah, I've been worried about him because he was 6 weeks early when he was born, and he was born by C-section, and then about 4 years ago he was in a critical car accident where he was almost killed, but he survived. We love each other very much. I adore him and he adores me, but we don't see quite eye to eye spiritually. So I have a little tough time with that. And I'm with him and trying to figure out how to get through to him.
What happened in the car accident?
The car rolled over and he was thrown from the car out the window and his neck was cut and very close to cutting the carotid artery, but it didn't cut that, and he survived. And actually, a Native American or First Nations people, this happened in Canada, appeared on the scene and prayed over him, and then kind of disappeared. And it was kind of somebody was saying that this man appeared and then disappeared, almost like vanished. So part of me was wondering if he had some kind of light beam guardian angel or whatever
Does he have a scar on his neck from the accident?
Yes, he has quite a bad scar, yes.
All right. So just give me a second here. There's certain stuff that's not good for on air here.
Okay.
Where in Canada?
Saskatchewan, near a place called Regina.
It's a sacred geometry city.
Yeah.
What was your son doing there?
He was a musician also, and he was traveling in a band across Canada from Montreal all the way to Vancouver and back.
All right, there's some setup energy here. Not all of this is appropriate for air.
Hold on.
Your son was set up for this car accident.
I've been afraid of that.
And the scar on his neck was a reminder to his higher soul that if he broke the rules, that they were going to really make his life really, really hard. And the Native American that stepped in was actually an ancestor who sacrificed his Blue Road side, his Blue Road spirit, and by manifesting and in making sure your son would survive, he was no longer able to be a teacher spirit of the people on the surface. He had to return to Hollow Earth and go through the last part of his extinction process. So, yes, your son is protected, but he has had numerous lifetimes where he became super cocky, and something set him up. And this is a long-term play. It has to do with Atlantis. It has to do with Lemuria. It has to do with the Gavorshan Wars, where tremendous amounts of backstabbing went on souls. False light beings were brought in. It's a big story. But just to say that your son is protected, but he's only protected until he starts going into ego, going into vanity, going into those other things that don't keep him centered. And as long as he does that, there's going to be this continuous buildup until the anvil is going to loom over his head again, because he's in karmic retribution. He's a retributing spirit.
What can I do to help him or protect him? I don't know.
First thing first, I would have a cranial sacral therapist. If you have money, you have time, you have a practitioner that's good, not someone who works on their grandma every other week or works on their kids, an actual person that does it every week as a job, cranial sacral therapist, and then begin to do heavy work for him to let go of some of the spiritual scarring that went on during his recovery phase, where because the damage that he took as a soul was far, far worse during the recovery phase than the actual accident and injury itself. And he's a tremendous amount of scar tissue that needs to be letting go over the terrors that his soul went through when it suddenly got shocked when something came calling and said, "We told you as a soul not to do this, and you did." And he got taken, and that's why they had that accident. He was pushing it way too hard.
Wow. So, yeah. Okay, so he should see a cranial sacral therapist, and then should he... It's hard for me to get in touch with himself spiritually. I've been able
right,
to...
Right, because the music picked up is his new connection to external. He's really not playing from his heart like he used to.
Yeah.
He's really become very 3D.
Yes, he has. And I worry about that a lot. And I'm trying to figure out how to...
Well, you worry about that because you saw him when he wasn't 3D, where he was 4D and 5D and sometimes 6D. And it's sad to see that, but I think as a soul, he's so damn scared of pushing the limits and getting beat up again that he's just going to ride it out until the change comes. What can you do to fix that? You can't change people's minds. You can only lead by example and hope that they begin to see it on their own, that doing what you love is wonderful and it brings great happiness to you, far greater than doing what you don't love.
So it's best for me to encourage him to do what he loves. Like he's an amazing musician and singer. I mean, his voice is so healing, but I think you're right. He's scared because every time he starts to get good and successful, some sort of accident happens, and it's
right because he's not supposed to be on the world stage. He's not supposed to be a musician on the world stage. He's supposed to be using his voice as sound healing, like a person that does massage therapy and sounds over a dense energy spot on your shoulder, on your back, or your kidney. That's what he okay. should be doing this lifetime. Completely opposite of being on stage in karmic retribution. I mean, it's like okay. every time he gets up on stage in big public, there's this big giant psychic target on him. It says, demons, beat me up. I'm doing something I'm not supposed to do.
Oh, wow. And that's got to be so frustrating for him because he's so good.
Right. You know, I know people that are so good at sound healing and massage therapy that they charge $400 an hour, and they get it because they're that damn good.
Yeah.
You know, right, it's not like he needs to you know, I mean, I'm almost going to say right. if he wouldn't took some advanced massage class and got some type of license or worked with some type of hands-on energy healing class like Reiki or quantum healing, quantum touch, and applied his singing to that, he'd make a fortune.
Yeah.
A fortune. But he'd have to have the belief okay. in what he's doing. He'd have to be willing to use it on himself and go through that transition of I'm a musician into I'm a healing musician, and I don't need to be on stage. The person that's in front of me is my audience, and a perfect performance for this person means not only do they heal, but I get to heal too by creating and co-creating sound with them.
Okay. He started doing kirtans. What do you think about kirtans for him? Is that a...
It's just a little thing for him to test until he goes, you know, deeper than a scratch and actually gets involved into doing something where, you know, it's not once a month or once every 5 months or whenever he thinks about it. He actually does it weekly, several times a week, till you get good at it. And if you don't do it, you yeah. don't learn it with a smile on your face, you're never really going to get good at it. Rote learning is one thing. He's not a yeah. really a rote learner. He's a hands-on learner. He needs to feel that energy. You know, yeah. the same thing applies to you. You could be doing sound healing if you picked up a more advanced tissue massage skill and began to incorporate all of the things that you know about music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would actually do that as okay. a challenge for you. Find somebody that you know was willing to be your little spiritual guinea pig, you know, and okay. sit them down on a couch or something and pull out your drums and massage them head to toe while using your drum or while using musical instruments. And tell them ahead of time, okay. this is not a sexual experience. This is a whole point is to deeply connect to the sensual side of you, the mothering touch. And watch your sound literally pull decades of dense energy out of them.
Okay. Okay. I'll try that.
All right. Any last right. questions before we go on? We're going to take a break here real quick.
I think I'm good. I think thank you so much for all you've said to me and talked about with me. I really appreciate it. You're
so welcome, and thank
great.
You for coming on here. And you know, talking about your
you're
son,
I
know that's going to help a lot of other people out there. I'm glad we broached that subject. I just couldn't let it go.
Oh, good. thank you so much, Andrew. I really
you're
appreciate
welcome.
You.
All right. Okay. So why don't we go on break here for just a couple minutes, and then we are going to come back. And Danielle, are you there?
I'm right here.
So we're going to do a Q&A, a live Q&A next. Is that what we had set up here?
That is what we have set up. We have some very wonderful people here on chat. And for those of you listening, this is going to be a new format. We're adding to the reading shows. League members are already familiar with Q&As. And what we will be doing is we will be having threads where you can vote on the topics of these mini Q&As. Okay, so the league members will be voting on that, and we are also going to pull questions from the league regarding these specific topics, and we're also going to open it up to some of the people who are listening with us live. So today, as we go on break, please think of your questions that you would like to ask, and you can post them on the YouTube chat in all caps, and they have to be regarding these readings that we did just here. So this is the frame for the questions that are to be asked today. So we will see you back here after a very short break.
And welcome back, the Megastation, bbsradio.com, and we are simulcast here on Google Hangouts for the Q&A portion of Adventures into Reality. And Danielle, why don't you come on in over here and let's look at some of these questions that we've got lined up.
Absolutely. Well, you know, the chat has been just blowing up today. For those of you tuning in, this is the chat that we have over on our simulcast with YouTube Google Hangouts. And over on this chat, people are sharing that this is, you know, these experiences in the past two readings that we heard are things they can relate to and have really helped open up different layers of understanding. Let's start off with some of the questions, because you did mention a colonics for the last reading that we had on the show. And someone's asking here, for example, what is the difference between a doctor natural colonics and the two-day colonics you are speaking of? A doctor natura, I'm reading it as. Doctor natura colonics.
They're probably not using the word order right. What I'm saying is you don't get it all out in the first colonic. Oftentimes, in fact, the vast majority of times, not only do you need a second colonic, you need a third one. Not everyone can take that much filling up and emptying out in a row. If you've never had a colonic, what it is they put warm saline water in a tube inside you, and it fills up, and you're at a position where it goes as deep as it can go into your intestinal tract, and then it flushes back out, and then it fills up and flushes out, and they do that for an hour. There are some people that could have 60 to 70 pounds of putrefied matter in their intestinal tracts. And I have personally witnessed people that have gone to colonics that have come back after 3 or 4 or 5 colonics literally 40 pounds lighter, 50 pounds lighter, because they were actually in the framework of mind so that they could tell their liver to let go, so that they could feel safe enough what was going on to let go of the toxins all of their organs have been holding on to, which have made them depressed, obsessed, or in regression. The colonic gives us the space, without all this negative junk inside us, to create natural fluids that don't have negative programming built into it. This is why colon health, gut health, stomach health is so vitally important. It is what fuels our dreaming world and our ability to interact with it. So when our gut is in alignment with our heart and our mind, we remember more of our dreams. So for those people that don't connect to their dreams and haven't had dreams in a long time, you need to seriously consider colon maintenance. Not just, oh, I'm going to take these supplements. I'm going to say, you need to shit your head off for 2 straight weeks or suck it up, buttercup, and go do a set of colonics, because the colonics make it way more easier to let go of that matter instead of spending 2 weeks on the toilet, you know, or in some kind of 2 weeks detox kit. Not everyone can do colonics, but then there are people that will just challenge themselves and go and do it. If you're unconnected to your dreams, if you're a healer out there and you haven't had dreams every night, or you find yourself constantly in fighting dreams or in running dreams, you need to look at colon health. Very important, because there's something in your intestinal meridians, your upper intestinal, your lower intestinal, the energy meridians that store the actual trigger energy to let your dreaming body leave your body. Your dreaming body is a different experience than having a regular out-of-body experience where you come out of your crown chakra and there's a cord attached. That is a different expression. And a dreaming body comes out of your navel, creates like a flower. That flower opens out, and then your dreaming body goes out, and it isn't attached with a cord to your physical body. Two separate experiences. Dreaming bodies need to be reconnected, rehealed. So many people have major energy wounds to their sacrum. They're like knife wounds that are preventing their sacrum from actually creating the spiritual alchemy for proper dream interaction. That's why it's so easy for people to be fooled by the sacred geometry dream world. It has far less potency and power, but if your dreaming body has very little potency or power, it is just going to go to the next door neighbors and dream over there instead of actually building up the energy to go to the North Pole to reconnect to the dreaming mind of Earth, which we were naturally meant to do each night.
That's interesting, because a lot of people are also discussing on these chats right now, people who are having trouble connecting to dream times, remembering their dreams. So I know that ties into the colonics you're talking about, but do you have more suggestions for them, because they're really having trouble connecting to their dreams?
Well, if they're really having trouble connecting their dreams, they more than likely have a candida scenario in their lower intestine that is really out of control. More than likely, what's feeding this candida expression is bread, glutens, sugars, pops, coffee, alcohol. When candida gets out of balance, it literally produces an effect of like alcohol in your intestinal tract that actually can make you breathe in a breathalyzer like you have alcohol in your system. And it also can make you hypoglycemic. It can make you demand for carbs even when you don't need carbs, because actually it's the candida yeast itself saying, I'm producing all this, and the only thing your body can do is say, I need carbs so that this thing is satisfied. You need to remove the candida. You may need to go look at a product called Candida Be Gone, or look at some other natural pathways of getting candida. You know, the key things for candida is look at your feet. Look at your feet. Your feet tell you just about everything of what's going on in your intestinal tract.
They be looking for at on their feet? Like if they look at their feet.
Marks, white mark, yeast marks. Quickly, the sweat, the feet give off a particular scent. If you have really bad smelling feet, you're pretty much guaranteed you're having major intestinal issues. More than likely, you have one or two petrified sections of pavement inside your intestinal tract that are so toxic that your body, all it can do is put it out your feet. The same thing with people that have really bad body odor. That's coming from your intestinal tract. From your lymph nodes not properly draining because your liver is so full of toxicity, whether it's spiritual toxicity or physical toxicity. And the liver is a key component to making sure that the dreaming body, when it comes back into the body, processes all of the information and allows it to be downloaded into the actual cellular memory. That's why toxic livers... makes it so hard for people to have spiritual experiences. They might be the most shining spiritual being in the world, but if their liver is not balanced, these experiences are just specks, a drop of a water on a dry tongue compared to what they could have.
Someone's asking, is MSM in combination with vitamin C any a good toxic cleanser?
Yes. What they're referring to is Miracle Mineral Solution or CMD or are there any of the conversions of it. There are people that even do that as a suppository. So yes, that is extremely beneficial. The Rife machine is extremely beneficial for parasites. Almond husks is the other one. That is really good for that. There's a whole bunch of things that people can begin to resource specifically for parasites. The Rife machine that you can put on it, the zapper. That isn't for everyone. The first thing, if you've never done it before, is figure out if you are strong enough to go and have a colonic, or you're going to settle with doing a two-week colon cleanse kit. An actual kit, not one that's just a dietary supplement where you are going to go from one or two bowel movements a day to six or seven, because the amount of fiber that are in the pills are literally going to make it like really long trains. And that is the way you're going to begin to trickle detox yourself by every time you have a bowel movement, that stool is filled with the toxins. And you'll smell it right away. It'll smell like sulfur or worse. And people that are heavy metals detoxing, you know, so many people have so much heavy metals from all the vaccines, you'll finish a bowel movement and literally you'll feel your brain and your face drain out. And that is because literally your body has finally opened up all the dams and blocks in the area that the toxins that have been stored in the different parts of your body could actually make it to the intestinal tract.
Wonderful. That's, yeah, we're definitely going to be talking more, I know, soon on spiritual cleanliness and colon cleansing, and that's something that we're going to go into a lot of detail, probably in an upcoming recording we're going to be doing.
MMS and colloidal silver, that's the next one. Colloidal silver, there are so many recipes out there for colloidal silver. You can learn how to make it on your own. Very beneficial for people that have issues with infections. Colloidal silver, you can apply it to your skin. You can drink it. There's all sorts of things that you can do with colloidal silver for health.
Wonderful. So this question that's also popped up a lot, because they mentioned a lot about colonics, but in the chat, people were very responsive to the projected masturbatory energy that the other woman experienced. And a lot of people have been asking various questions, including how they can protect themselves or what they can do if they are on the receiving end of a lot of this energy from men in their past relationships or even, you know, and currently that they know.
Well, as I was saying in that individual reading, it was up to her to say no to the energy. And for those people that had a visceral response, like, wow, I think that that's happening to me, somehow they put that connection together. There's some point in you where you felt it was okay. And more than likely, it was in your tween or your teenage years where you were opening up to your sexuality, and you more than likely opened up to an abusive entity that was doing with tens of dozens of other children in your neighborhood. And it just shared many of these dark fantasies that it had. And then it left and went up the chain into something else, and you were left with that taint. Oftentimes, that's what influences people into karmic resolution, what brings on bad relationships, so on and so forth. You got to find the time in yourself where those doorways were opened up first, and think about when you began having your own fantasy masturbatory life. And then write a contract revocation that says, I am now changing those choices. I'm bringing those back to the zero point of the fetus and mother's womb. You need to be willing to do ceremony to forgive yourself, because you may find that there was a time where you were a bit abusive with your own masturbatory life, men and women. Women can get right into men's field and pull energy out of them when they are masturbating to their boyfriend. Even though the boyfriend may really, really like it, and they're sharing and talking and texting it back and forth, but there are times where they do that, and they literally reach in and they just drain that man of energy because they need, because they had a frequency of predatorial energy in them, and women are never meant to be predatorial. Men have to understand that they're no longer Neanderthal, and they don't need to be predatorial either. When we remove the predatorial energy from our physical expression, all those projections have nothing to attach to. And you create an egg of sacred space, of sacred masculinity and femininity, that has the rules defined in the edge of your aura. So if this thing of energy comes and suddenly smacks into your crown chakra, it gets rejected back at the person that sent it with a very stern instruction that says, I have rules about my energy field. You have just violated my energy field. This is your first warning. Upon the second warning, this energy will return to you fivefold with a very loud and stern warning in your dream world. If you do it again and again, then the warnings will get more until they culminate into an intentional, violent kicking out of my energy field, in which where the physical being will feel an actual jolt of energy around their heart. So that is a little bit more aggressive way. And if there's a woman out there or a man out there that they know they have a stalker and they know that that's going on, they need to create a series of rituals that define the rules around them, and ceremonies where they can get into protected ceremonial space with the egg of protection, so that they can talk out loud with a little bit of anger behind it, but not a lot. You must remain as neutral as possible when you are defining the rules, because there are millions of beings who may be interacting with you. And if you're just dealing with one, you are tailoring the rules for that being.
That's very important with any contract right. revocation. I think you specified that to remain in that sacred neutral so it has the best effect possible. Let's take one more question. Let's take one more question here. And this is about, let me see, I'm scrolling back up again because I had found something. This one here is actually just about the sacred geometry cities, because, you know, we mentioned that too in the last reading. The question is, how can we get out of the influence of sacred geometry in cities or elsewhere?
Learn to dream in the North Pole, Aurora Borealis. Learn to save enough physical energy from self-nurturing and self-healing so that you have enough energy to dream to the North Pole and come back with the memories from it. I can't begin to express how vital it is that we once again learn to be where our ancestors are, which is in the North Pole Aurora Borealis. Our sacred geometry system overlays the natural geometry system here, and some beings have a very tough time of identifying what is the real one and what is the fake one. You don't need to go to either of those. The North Pole Aurora Borealis is where it all is. It's what makes everything else. You don't need to be a part of that construct at all. You just need to figure out how to get your brain into your heart so your heart creates spiritual alchemy so your dreaming body can come out of your intestinal tract and then travel to the North Pole with the vision you're experiencing in your mind and your heart during dream time. That's the mechanics of sacred geometry. That's how you get out of it. Figure out what it takes for you to be disconnected in a protected egg bubble so you can let out your sacred dreaming body to go and connect with your soul family ancestors without restriction or control by whatever this system of domination and control says. It has no power over you in your dream world. There's your answer. It's that simple. Say no to it.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Andrew. This was such an incredible show. Such an incredible show today. We've had such a beautiful audience, both from our YouTube channel and from our radio, BBC radio channel. We have been so fortunate and grateful to have you all here with us with the questions and the input. And thank you again, Andrew. Is anything you wanted to give us in a closing? I think we wanted to
remind people the spiritual parenting product is out for those that are children out there. There's a lot more stuff in there talking about spiritual cleanliness, what people can do for their children. Even children that have grown up, you may be able to find something in that recording that can help other people incorporate stuff into themselves. And then the spiritual power of food, those are two really, really cool products. I think a lot of people can get a lot of inspiration in there. We talk a little bit about colon health inside the spiritual food product. And for those that are bound and determined to change and are willing to go do colonics, really look at the spiritual power food product. It will give you a basis in which you can begin to create alchemy with food and heal not only yourself, but all of your friends and family with the power of food.
Food is amazing when you apply that spiritual alchemy to it. My gosh.
Right.
And also for those of you who are listening in for the first time or second or third, but you also want to sign up to get a reading, go ahead and go to thegalactichistorian.com. It's galactichistorian.com. And in the upper right-hand corner, you will see a Join Now button. And you click on that button and sign up for the league. You will be able to sign up and apply for getting a live reading on show here with Andrew and I and the rest of the team.
We're going to be expanding to 10 reading shows a month until the end of the year. And this is to get as many teachings out between now and the end of the year as possible. So there's going to be a tremendous opportunity for people to have. That'll be 20 readings a month, 20 of these public teaching readings a month. So for all those people that want to get an opportunity, go to the League of Consciousness Explorers at galactichistorian.com. We have a forum there that is for the people. We encourage people to share their dreams there, to share what's going on in their awakening experience, in their cleansing experience. It is also a place to share, you know, your own work, your own spirituality. We just ask that everyone comes with an open mind, no one be in domination and control. Everyone simply come as consciousness explorers and share in this incredible world that we got. There's lots of benefits that come to being in the League. You get a percentage off of products. You get firsthand connections to me to be able to do the Q&As, as well as access to the readings.
Oh, yes. And we have so much more coming up, too, including the archives, and we're going to be putting together a large database with answers so that people can look up certain answers on their own, because we do get a lot of questions that pop up. So this is just all really fun stuff we're putting together for everyone.
And one more side note, I've been working on a book now for about 2 weeks. So yes, there will be a book coming out, so get everyone all nice and excited. There's a couple that have been brewing for a while, and I've been able to take time and work on the project, and hopefully I'll be able to get that done pretty fast to let everyone know to keep in mind that you are going to get a written product out of me.
We're finally getting it from him, so.
From voice to ink.
Ah, perfect.
All right. Thank you, everyone, at bbsradio.com. Thank you, everyone, on Google Hangouts. We're going to call it an end to the show, so same bat time, same bat channel, and we will be back in another lifetime. Take us away, guys.